We're going to go with the I'm just a bill, but I'm just a regulation. So what our little schoolhouse rock of what starts? So the start is how do we decide, how does IRS and Treasury decide what regulation or guidance is needed? Like, there's lots of things to do. There's lots of things in the EO world. Why are certain things on the priority guidance plan and certain things not? And how do they get there?
$64 million question. So sometimes it's really clear, right? Sometimes you have a massive piece of legislation that is passed, occasionally passed with retroactive effective dates, often passed, more commonly passed with effective dates that Congress thinks are like entirely reasonable, like 6 months or 9 months. And so often that will take over the priority guidance plan, right? We will, you know, we'll be taking our marching orders from Congress, so to speak. But then, and I Alex, who started off this morning with all sorts of cultural references, I was very impressed with that. I will make my own bad cultural reference that I do, which is John Rawls and his veil of ignorance, right? So we are sitting, you know, the regulators are sort of sitting behind this veil, and we rely on all of you guys and all of your colleagues to come and tell us what's important. And that happens at conferences, it happens via written letters, it happens via official comments, it happens via emails. And we read the tax press, right? And so some of it is stakeholder feedback. Some of it is our own knowledge of just, as you said, you know, we're talking to the IRS side all the time, right? And so if I'm hearing from Division Counsel that there's an issue that they, you know, keep on seeing coming up on audit, right? And they don't really have the right guidance to be able to know what call to make, or they feel like we're seeing this, you know, all these mistakes happening, and maybe it's because the stakeholder community doesn't have the right guidance out there. So that's something that will go on the priority guidance plan. The priority guidance plan, while it looks dry and one could not sort of imagine a more boring name, is actually the subject of like passionate, well, you're laughing, right?
No, I mean,
the number of hours that we spend going back and forth over what's, and at the highest, the assistant secretary is involved, right? The IRS chief counsel is involved, you know, over, is that four bullet points under DAFs? Or is it one project? And what goes off and what comes on? And there is, so that's the PGP.
Right. Yeah, and I would, let's just give a little color of some examples of guidance and where they came from. So UBIT siloing, it came from Congress. That was a legislative guidance. It was a requirement. DAFs, it's basically coming from the bill. It's not there. So the group ruling guidance, that's one that came from IRS commissioner side and the determinations people who said this has got to get fixed and something needs to change. The sort of that was impetus for getting it onto the plan. The LLC guidance, similarly, there were determinations that were coming in, requests for determinations, and the determinations people were like, we have no idea what we should do with LLCs that have non-exempt organization members. Can we do this? Can we not? And they talked to chief counsel, and chief counsel's like, we don't know. And so then they put out guidance. From the public, the PRI examples, the equivalency determination, and the changes in the discrimination of schools, discrimination reporting, those all came from the public, the community. The IRS would never have done PRI like guidance. The Treasury would never have done PRI guidance if they hadn't been a real push from the foundation community and from the exempt organization community. So those are ones that came from the public.
There's also litigation, right, which I've sort of forgotten when we were planning. I'd put that out of my head because weather is beautiful and it's lovely to be in Austin. But
right.
For example, if we have, just hypothetically, issued guidance through notices and a court comes and says, actually, you are neglecting your duty under the Administrative Procedure Act and there should have been an opportunity for notice and comment and these notices are invalid, then perhaps there might be a priority guidance plan to issue regulations.
Right. And then the other piece of it, and I'll talk about this piece because she can't, is that there is a political decisions that go into this. The Schedule B, the changes to the Schedule B reporting for 501c4s, that was a political call from the administration that was there. They said, this is important to us, we want to do this. There was something that was put on the plan that has been taken off, that was put on the plan at the end of the Obama administration on donation of water rights. It was put on the plan and then it was taken off because the Trump administration didn't care about the donation of water rights at the time and didn't think that that should be a priority. So there is some political piece to this, which is also why it goes to the highest levels, is that, and so that's why, so that's one reason things can come off the plan. Rich is going to explain why other things can come off the plan and maybe a little bit on LLC guidance.
Sure. And I will say the PGP, for those who aren't sort of regulatory lawyers all day and all night, is public, right? And then there are quarterly updates. So it is something, if you haven't looked at it, it's something that's worth, and apologies if this is obvious to people in the room, but it's something you should look at and you should make your colleagues aware of, because it is really important, right? And so the best case scenario, something comes off because we publish guidance on it. I know that's not what you are asking. Sometimes things come off, so we have what we call sort of quasi-affectionately like the legacy PGP items that get carried over PGP to PGP.
7611.